So we're continuing to discuss text 38 of the Brahma Samhita, Bhakti Vilochanena. Seeing Krishna in the mind or heart through meditation and gyan, it's called gyan drishti, or seeing Krishna with the eyes, which is the result of his bhakta vatsalya mercy, the affectionate mercy of the Lord bestowed upon a sadhaka or a siddha, a perfected devotee or a practicing devotee. So we want to just read some descriptions from Bhagavatam where different devotees are described in their experiences of seeing the Lord. So there's in the second canto, it talks about this internal vision of the Lord. So this is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a chapter, canto 2, chapter 9, verse 35. Oh, that's the wrong one. As you may know, these group of verses here are the Chatushloki, the four verses that Vishnu spoke to Lord Brahma, and from these verses the whole Bhagavatam is expanded. So they're called the nutshell verses, or the Chatushloki, the four verses which expanded into the whole Bhagavatam. So in this particular text, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Verse 35, the Lord is saying to Brahma, Yata mahanti bhutani bhuteshucha vacheshvanu pravishantya pravishtani tatateshu nateshvaham. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time, I am outside of everything. It's something like the verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 4. Mayam tatam idam sarvam, isn't it? That verse is there. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagaravyaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani nacheham teshavashtita. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So it's similar to this nutshell verse where Krishna is saying that I exist within everything created, and at the same time I'm outside of everything. But I want to call your attention in relation to, because Krishna is, he's inside of everything and he's outside of everything. And the purport probably makes a nice point for meditation and contemplation in terms of this topic of seeing Krishna. Although Krishna is present in every atom, the Supreme Personality of Godhead may not be visible to dry speculators. Still, the mystery is unfolded before the eyes of the pure devotees, because their eyes are anointed with love of God, which is what this verse 38 says in Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Vilochan. So this is a mystery, how everything is inside of Krishna, and at the same time, he's inside of everything. He's inside of us, and we're inside of him. It's like Mother Yashoda, she saw Krishna when he was eating clay, and he opened his mouth, and she saw inside of Krishna, she saw everything, the whole universe. Although Krishna was outside, everything was outside of Krishna. The sun was outside of Krishna, the moon was outside, the planets, Vrindavan, she herself, everything was outside of Krishna. But then when she looked in his mouth, what did she see? She saw that everything was inside of Krishna. She saw the sun inside his mouth, and the moon inside his mouth, and Vrindavan inside his mouth, and Krishna inside his mouth, and herself inside his mouth. So that verse, that lila gives support for this philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 4, that everything is inside of Krishna and simultaneously everything is outside of him. So this was certainly a mystery that was displayed before the eyes of Mother Yashoda in Brahmandagat and Mahavan. And, as Prabhupada mentions, this mystery is unfolded before the eyes of the pure devotees because their eyes are anointed with love of God. And this love of God can be attained only by practice of transcendental loving service of the Lord. The vision of the devotees is not ordinary. It is purified by devotional service. The Lord's name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, as they are described in revealed scriptures, are far beyond material manifestation. But they are factually televised in the heart of the devotee. The man with poor fund of knowledge cannot understand, although the material science can see things far away by means of television. Factually, the spiritually developed person is able to have the television of the kingdom of God always reflected within his heart. That is the mystery of knowledge of the personality of Godhead. So this is a particularly interesting purport where Prabhupada shows that he's in touch with the technology of the times of 1970 or so, when Prabhupada was writing purports to the second canto. Television was a big thing, as is, you know, computers and internet and all those things nowadays. But 30 years ago, television was a fairly big advancement in technology and communication, live newscasts. So Prabhupada used this analogy that the kingdom of God is always reflected within his heart. So that is the aprakrita, lila of the Lord. Although Krishna's not here, he was here 5,000 years ago, he's not here in Vrindavan. But his lila stalis are here, the Rasamandal is here, Giriraj is here, Shamakund is here, Radhakund, Barsan, Anandagram, Gokul, Vrimandagat, Sevakunj. So it's not manifest now. The place is there, but we don't see Krishna's pastimes there. But his pastimes are going on in the facsimile, or the original, the origin of those holy places in the spiritual world. So that spiritual world is televised within the heart. All the pastimes and all the activities and dramas and dancing and singing and playing and stealing and cow tending and all the activities of the spiritual world can be seen, in the television of the heart, they can be seen, which is reminiscent of Sanjay. On the battle of Kurukshetra, Sanjay had this kind of transcendental television, and he was revealing the screen of his heart, the screen of his Trikala Gyan. He could see the future. So he was showing that screen of his television to the eyes of Dhritarashtra by describing it to him, because Dhritarashtra was blind, so he couldn't see the television. But Sanjaya, he could see the whole battlefield illuminated inside of his heart before it even took place. And then he described it. So in the same way, the pure devotees, Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan, through the means of chanting, which is usually prescribed by all the acharyas, the chanting of the holy name brings about a state of purity in the mind and heart. And that state of purity, which is equivalent to this verse where it says Premanjana Charita, that prema that anoints the eyes first anoints the ears. The Prem Nam Sankirtan anoints the ears and the heart, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. So in the mirror of the heart, and the mirror of the mind is cleansed by this Prem Nam or the Shuddha Nam, then in that mirror or that television screen of the mind and heart, one can see the Nitya Lila of the Lord, Lord Gauranga and Radha and Krishna. So this is what Prabhupada is saying, that spiritual world will be broadcast in the screen of the heart of the pure devotee. And so he can see that the spiritually developed person is able to have the television of the kingdom of God always reflected within his heart. So this is an interesting choice of words that Prabhupada said, reflected. Because a mirror, a darpan, means mirror, it reflects the image before it. So in our heart, is like a mirror polished by our heart, cheto darpana marjana. Marjana means cleansed or polished. So in the mirror of our heart or mind, synonymous in one sense, the mirror of our heart or mind is cleansed by the practices of sadhana bhakti, specifically chanting the holy name, then that mirror and the heart will become pure to the point of prema, right? Adoshara tata sarva sangha, and eventually prema. And then that mirror of the heart or consciousness, which is polished to a beautiful shine with the prem nam, will reflect, as Prabhupada says, reflect the kingdom of God. So one will see nam, rup, guna, lila. So that is how the lilas will become manifested. It will no longer be necessitated. It won't be a kalpana. Kalpana is the word that's often used when one artificially meditates. It's called kalpana, means imagination, that he's trying to imagine or see the holy dham. But it's like trying to imagine or see something in a mirror that's covered with dirt. You can stand there and look at the mirror and say, yeah, I imagine that in that mirror, when it's clean, that there's a very beautiful person in that mirror with a very beautiful spiritual form, with a particular color dress and complexion and a particular mood and mellow. And so that's called kalpana. That there's not, but unless that mirror gets cleaned or polished, you'll never see that reflection. It'll simply be an imagination. So this is what is mentioned here, that it's the mirror of the heart is like a television. You see the pastimes. And when you read the scriptures of the realized souls that are having such televised kingdom of God within their hearts, you can understand that they're directly taking part and seeing the lila. It's not an imagination. It's real for them. For Raghunath Das Goswami, when he writes in Vilap Kusumanjali about seeing the aprakat or unmanifested pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and he's entering there in his fully realized and developed spiritual form as a manjari, a Rati Manjari, and rendering service there to Radha and Krishna and their eternal pastimes, Astakali Lila. And it's very real, and it is real. And Radharani is speaking to him, and Krishna is speaking to him, and they're interacting with him. And then suddenly, there's some break in the transmission of that, and then he loses his sporty, or he doesn't see that anymore. So then it doesn't say that he tries to imagine it, but then it says he rolls on the ground and laments. Vilap. Vilap Kusumanjali. Vilap means lamentation. So he laments, this great mystery was unveiled to me in the screen of my heart, and I saw this wonderful pastime, and I took place, and I rendered service there. But now it's invisible to me. I can't see it. And then he has these different prayers where he prays, when will you again manifest your mercy to me? So this is along the lines of what we're discussing, that this darshan of the Lord is given by his mercy. You'll never find anywhere in the scriptures that one receives darshan of the Lord through kalpana, through imagination. When the Lord is pleased with the devotee's activities in service, by which means, of course, serving Guru and pleasing Guru, then he can feel free to reveal himself. Swayam eva spuratida, that he himself reveals. So I wanted to mention something about Dhruva Maharaj, because often we hear about Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Shikshan, the fourth canto. So he's another example of someone who had darshan the Lord. And we are meant to learn lessons from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the primary scripture for those that are following the path of Bhagavad Dharma and specifically want to attain Braj Bhakti. So therefore, Acharyas, this is, as we mentioned before in last year, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in Puri, and he was relishing the higher moods of Mahabhav, Vipralamba Ras, love and separation. But at the same time, although he was internally experiencing such intense ecstasies, when he was moving in the conscious plane and not in the unconscious plane of transcendental ecstasies where he would totally lose touch with anything that resembled normal reality, and his whole body would change and contort and transform into inconceivable presentations. When he would move in the external world and act as a sadhaka, and he would do what sadhakas do, to set the prime example. So what do sadhakas do? Those that are aspiring for Krishna prema, they have practices that they do on a regular basis. They sit together and they hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavad Yutamashaloke Bhakti Bhavat Nashtaki. So Nashtaki Bhakti or Nishtita Bhakti, steady devotion, coming to the Nishta platform, is very quickly attained by associating with advanced devotees and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a perfect exemplary devotee in terms of his behavior and achar and his prachar. So every day he went to Toda Gopinath, took darshan, Srimurti Seva, Shrata Seva, and every day he sat down and listened to the Srimad Bhagavatam from the lotus mouth of Gadadhar Pandit. And particularly, he would often request Gadadhar to speak on Dhruva Shiksha. Please tell me the teachings of Dhruva Maharaj. I want to hear it again and again and again. It's interesting because, and there was many devotees in that Sangha. Haridas Thakur was in that Sangha, the Namacharya. He wasn't thinking, oh really, I'm too advanced for this Dhruva Shiksha, for fourth canto. I mean, look, I'm chanting 3 lakhs of rounds a day. I'm Haridas Thakur. Let me just read the 10th canto or Govinda Lilamrita all day long in Siddha Bokul. But he came also there, and King Pratapurudra would come sometimes, and Raghunath Bhatta and Raghunath Das, and many of the devotees that were living there, Jagannanda Pandit and Sri Haridas Pandit and Paramananda Puri, and so many different devotees that were there in the Puri Sangha, Jagannath Puri Sangha of Mahaprabhu, they would all sit down and listen to the Bhagavatam. And Gadadhar Pandit, he was such a rasika bhakta. And of course, Rupa Goswami does explain, and Lord Chaitanya explains the same principle in the Anti Lila. I believe it's Anti Lila. When he's discussing the five principles of devotional service, he says, Bhagavad Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sangha. One should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam in the association with a rasika bhakta. That means one should hear the Bhagavatam from an advanced devotee, one who is relishing the bhakti ras. That will have the most efficacy to quickly bring about the desired result, which is Krishna prema, as we say when we recite the 10 offenses at the end. We say, anyone who avoids these 10 offenses will quickly advance in the path of devotional service and attain the desired result, Krishna prema. So the desired result is Krishna prema. If you hear every day the Srimad Bhagavatam from a rasika bhakta, then very quickly you will attain the desired result. If you hear the Srimad Bhagavatam every day from somebody, somewhere, somehow, then you will also attain the desired result, but not so quickly. And then it may not be the highest presentation of the desired result, because prema has different levels. There's Vaikuntha prema, and there's Braja prema. So depending on the type of surrender and type of hearing, that can influence a lot the speed at which you'll attain perfection and the type of perfection you will attain. Association is very, very important. So here we're also, there's something very important. What I mean to say by all this prelude is there's something very important to be learned by Dhruva Maharaj's teachings. It's so important and so necessary that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly hear Dhruva Shiksha and also Prahlad Shiksha. Our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, was very much fond of Prahlad Shiksha. He very much liked the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. And he would regularly give lectures about Prahlad Maharaj. So in the fourth canto, we know that Dhruva Maharaj, he teaches us many things. He teaches us to be determined in devotional service. And this is certainly apropos in Kali Yuga, because in Kali Yuga, we are not too determined. Why? Why are we not too determined? What is the cause of our lack of determination in Kali Yuga? There's a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, I think it's in the seventh chapter. I don't know, 28th verse or something. I know the Yesham Twantagatam Papam, 24? 28. This is the verse that Prabhupada uses when he discusses this point. Yesham Twantagatam Papam, Jananam Punyat Karmanam, Te Dwandva Mohanir Mukta, Pajanti Mam Dridavrataha. Pajanti Mam Dridavrata. Dridavrata Bhajan. In other words, determined bhajan. How can you be determined in your bhajan? Determined to chant 16 rounds every day. Determined to rise early every day. Determined to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Determined to actually surrender and try to go forward in Krishna consciousness. That is called Drita Vrata Bhajan. Determined bhajan. So how does one get determined? Then Krishna tells that one who has acted piously, one who has acted piously in this life and in previous lives, whose sins are almost eradicated, in other words, he's free from his sins due to accumulating so much sukriti, krita punya punja, then he's able to act very determinedly in this life. So in other words, the answer to my question, what is the cause of determination in Krishna consciousness? The cause of determination in Krishna consciousness is purity of the heart. In other words, the fewer sins you have, the more determined you'll be. So your answer, distraction or laziness, that we're distracted. Yes, we're distracted from, we can't be determined because we're distracted. And why are we distracted? Because we're attracted to our sins, to our material desires. They create more attraction than the attraction of Krishna or Krishna's bhajan. So we give up the bhajan, and we give up the attraction of Krishna to pursue the distractions or the attractions caused by our sins. So lack of determination is due to an impure heart. More purified the heart, the more the determination. So, Dhruva Maharaj teaches us this principle of determination. He had a particular goal. Although his goal was material, to get a kingdom bigger than his father, because he was insulted by his stepmother, whatever it was, he was really determined. And even when he was dissuaded or discouraged by his family, or, well, not by his mother, but by Narada Muni. Narada Muni came, and he said, listen, this is too difficult, you're only a little boy, don't you know there's ferocious tigers out here, and tigers and snakes and bears and all kinds of dangerous creatures? You should go home and eat cookies and milk and watch TV, you know. And don't come out to the forest. This is a dangerous place. There's no place for a young boy. And then Dhruva said, wait, you tell me something. I have a desire to attain God. My mother sent me to the forest. If you can tell me something to help me, then good. Otherwise, get lost. So then he went about his austerities, and then the demigods came, because this story is told in different Puranas, Padma Puran, Vishnu Puran, and they tell the story differently, and also in Chaitanya Mangal, there's a little variation of the story of Dhruva, which is also there in Chaitanya Mangal. And it's explained that Narada Muni tried to save him from a lot of hardship right in the beginning, but he was determined, his mind was set, he was fixed, his mind was fixed. He was going to get the mercy of God no matter what. So then when he started doing all these intense austerities, then the demigods came. Different demigods came, Chandra and Shiva and Indra, and they started preaching to him and offering him different bribes, because this is politics. Sama, Veda, Danda, what is it? You placate someone, offer them a bribe, Dan, Sama, Dana, Veda, or you bribe them, you offer them some donation, or you kind of divide their forces, or you just hit them on the head with a stick. Danda. So this is how you convince the enemy. So the demigods would come and they offer him different bribes. They say, listen, Dhruva, you know, give up these austerities, because they were afraid, they were threatened. Indra thought that if he keeps it up at this rate, he's going to kick me out of heaven and here I go again. You know, I'm always having to give up my throne and come back and dust it all off and clean it off after we defeat the demons. So Dhruva, he wasn't distracted at all. So the Bhagavatam, to study the teachings of Dhruva Maharaj and to reflect on and pray to him, one can get determination in devotional service and also purity of the heart by associating with the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was meditating on the Lord, and this is described in chapter 9 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, text number 2. Savaidya yoga vipakka tivraya ritpadna koshe spuritam taritprabham turohitam sahasavai palakshya bahistitam taravastam dadarsha. The form of the Lord, which was brilliant like lightning, and in which Dhruva Maharaj, in his mature yogic process, was fully absorbed in meditation, all of a sudden disappeared. Thus Dhruva was perturbed and his meditation broke. But as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally present, just as he had been seeing the Lord in his heart. So he was following the path of what we heard earlier from Brihad Bhagavatamrita of the tapasvis and yogis on Tapaloka, this Gyan Drishti, or this Gyan Yoga. And he was meditating in his heart, and he saw the Lord in his heart. And then he lost that spurti, that word there is spurti, that vision. He could not see that antar darshan. And then he opened his eyes, and he saw with his eyes, he saw with his two eyes, he saw the Lord. It says, Bahi stitam taravastam dadarsha. Bahi means outside. Standing outside, he saw. Because of his mature position in yogic meditation, Dhruva Maharaj was constantly observing the form of the Personality of Godhead within his heart. But all of a sudden, when the Supreme Personality disappeared from his heart, he thought he had lost him. Dhruva was perturbed, but upon opening his eyes and breaking his meditation, he saw the same form of the Lord before him. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena, Brahma Samhita 538. A saintly person who has developed love of God always sees the transcendental form of Shyam Sundar within his heart. It's not imaginary. When a devotee becomes mature in devotional service, he sees face to face the same Shyam Sundar that he thought of during his entire course of devotional service. Since the Supreme Lord is absolute, the form within the heart of a devotee, the form in the temple, and the original form in Vrindavan Dham are all the same. They are non-different from one another. So in Prem Bhakti Chandrika, Vishnu Chakravartipad is explaining that devotional service in the beginning as a sadhaka and sadhana bhakti, it is the same as devotional service in prema bhakti. Many of the limbs and practices are the same, but it's a matter of maturity and realization. And the analogy uses is he's comparing a mango. A mango is a green mango for some time, and then it becomes red and ripe. The mango is still the same, but it's just a maturation process. Over time, with exposure to heat and proper conditions, a green mango becomes a ripe mango, as long as all the proper conditions are met. If you take the green mango on the tree, then you pluck it off the tree and put it in your house, it won't turn into a ripe mango because it's too early. But if you keep it on the tree and keep it exposed to sun and heat, then it will become very ripe. So sadhana bhakti is a green mango, and if you perform sadhana bhakti properly and stay on the tree, or stay in the boat, so to speak, and stay in association with Guru and Vaishnavas, then that green mango of sadhana bhakti will become the ripe mango of prema bhakti. So in the same way that the sadhaka, he is not, does not have premanjana vilochan. He does not have prema vilochan, eyes of devotion, eyes of prema. But he has eyes of sadhaka. And his eyes are the eyes of ignorance that have been opened partially by the spiritual master. As the eyes of the disciple open partially by the mercy of the spiritual master, one sees partially his identity. Oh, I'm not the body. Aham Brahmasmi. I'm spirit soul. Oh, that's interesting. I'm Brahman. I'm consciousness. I'm eternal. I'm unlimited. I'm full of knowledge. Satchit Ananda. So then as the eyes open a little more, then the jiva perceives by the grace of Guru that not only am I eternal Brahmabhuta, Prasanatma, that I'm eternal Brahman, consciousness, but actually I'm also, I have a rasa, I have a potential for ras, a potential for love, and that love is based on service, and that service is meant for the master of service, or the Supreme Lord. And I have an eternal sambandha, a relationship with that Lord. Jivara Sorupaya Krishnara Nityadas. That besides being Brahman by constitution, and eternal by nature, and full of consciousness, I actually have a sarup. I have a personal form. And I am full of ras, or the ability to love and be loved, to taste love and to give the to receive the taste of love and to give the taste of love for my beloved Lord. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabhya Britya. There is one Supreme Lord and all the others are servants. So that means Om Anjana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. Gyananjana Shalakaya. Again, that word is there. Gyananjana, right? Gyan Anjana Shalakaya Chakshuramitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we say, this pranam prayer is spoken by all sadhakas or all shishyas in glorification of their guru. I was born in ignorance, covered by illusion and anarthas and avidya. But my guru has anointed my eyes, Om Anjana, he says, Gyananjana, Gyan Anjana. Now in this verse in the text 38 in the Brahma Samhita, we're saying Premanjana. So the first Anjana, means ointment. The first ointment that the guru puts on the eyes of the disciple is the ointment of knowledge. Who am I? Kayami Tapatrai. Who am I? Why am I suffering? Where did I came from? Where am I going? What is the purpose of life? This knowledge. And that knowledge, as the consciousness expands, as the eye opens more and more, that Gyananjana becomes Premanjana, which has been received by Brahma. And he's speaking this verse, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochane. Has taught him the process of dhyan, mantra dhyan, and rup dhyan. Because he told Dhruva Maharaj, he said, you chant this mantra and you meditate on Paramatma. So it's Rup Dhyan meditation, meditating on the form of the Lord, chanting a mantra. What mantra did Dhruva Maharaj chant? So he chanted mantra and he meditated on the form Paramatma. So he's seeing that form and is with Gyananjana, right? With Gyananjana. He's seeing that with the eyes of knowledge. He's following his guru. He's chanting the mantra. He's meditating on the form of the Lord. And then gradually, with great determined effort, then he was able to have a spurti, a strong vision of that form of the Lord. And then he lost it. Then he couldn't see it. Then he felt perturbed. He felt some disturbance. So then he opened his eyes. He thought, well, my meditation is broken. I don't see the Lord anymore in my heart. So I opened my eyes. And what did he see? Oh, Bhakta Vatsal. The Lord is so kind and so affectionate that he has left the core of my heart and manifested himself before me. So that's why Prabhupada mentions, just as Dhruva Maharaj has seen the Lord in his heart and then the Lord appeared outside of him, in the same way, that Lord in our heart is the same Lord that's downstairs in the temple room, Shamsundar. So Shamsundar in our heart, or Shamsundar in the Archamurti, or Shamsundar in the spiritual world, are equal absolute representations, or the absolute presentations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tad darshanen anguta sadvasa shitav avandakangam vinamaya dandavat dirgyam prapashyan prapiban ivar bakashi chumban ivasyena bujer ivash lishtan. When Dhruva Maharaj saw his Lord just in front of him, he was greatly agitated and offered him obeisances and respect. He fell down in Dandabas, absorbed in love of Godhead. In ecstasy, Dhruva Maharaj looked upon the Lord as if he were drinking the Lord with his eyes, kissing the lotus feet of the Lord with his mouth, and embracing the Lord with his arms. Purport. Naturally, when Dhruva Maharaj personally saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, he was very much agitated in awe and respect. And it appeared as if he were drinking the entire body of the Lord with his eyes. The devotee's love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so intense that he wants to kiss the lotus feet of the Lord constantly. And he wants to touch the tips of the toes of the Lord and constantly embrace his lotus feet. All these features of Dhruva Maharaj's bodily expression indicate that upon seeing the Lord face to face, he developed the eight kinds of transcendental ecstasy in the body. So we explained yesterday, that the results of having eye-to-eye sakshat darshan the Lord, one result is that it removes and burns up the ignorance and anarthas and avidya from the heart of the conditioned soul down to the root. Remember, those who were here yesterday? And the second point we mentioned is that by having sakshat darshan of the Lord, it increases the bhava, it increases the intense emotion and love and attachment of the Lord. And the third point we mentioned is that for one who is in prema, when he sees the Lord, he or she becomes overwhelmed with intense transformations of the body. In Dhruva Maharaj's case, he got promoted from the sadhaka platform to the bhava platform, because he was a sadhaka, and he was a sadhaka with desire. He's considered to be a karma mishra bhakta, Dhruva Maharaj. Why? He wanted a kingdom. He wanted big money. The big money. Big rupees, right? He wanted a kingdom bigger than his father. So he performed all these austerities with a material desire. He worshipped Krishna, akama sarva karma vo, right? He had desire, sarva kama, he had a lot of desires. Position, power, opulence, kamani kanak, pratishta. But what did he do? Did he worship Shiva? Did he worship Durga? No. Did he worship the ancestors? He worshipped Vasudev, Antaryami, Super Soul, and he chanted Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And then, because he's sincere and he was so determined, the Lord was somehow, out of his causeless mercy, his affectionate nature, he was attracted there. He gave his Antar Darshan, his Gyan Drishti Darshan, in the heart. And then he stopped that and appeared outside. And when he opened his eyes, with these very eyes of this little boy, he saw the Lord before him. And what happened? He got elevated from sadhana bhakti to bhava bhakti. And what happened? He started wanting to lick the Lord's feet, embrace the Lord, and taste the Lord. And Prabhupada said he was experiencing sattvic vikars, transformations. He was crying and all these things. And Simon, when he got flushed and completely cleansed of all his material desires, or cleansed to the root, and he was invested with his bhava, with these preliminary symptoms of bhava, then what happened later? When the Lord asked him, "Do you want a big kingdom?" What did he say? He said, "I don't want anything. I'm in bhava now. But if you don't, until you come to the platform of bhava bhakti, you have a lot of things on the plate." On the mental plate. There's a lot of things up there that have to be sorted out, isn't it? But so Dhruva Maharaj is like us. He was determined, a lot more determined than we were, I think we still are, than we are. We will be a were, but hopefully a long, long time from now. A lot more determined than we are. But still, look at the great mercy he had by seeing the Lord. What transformation. Satam vivakshantam atadvidam harir gyatvasya sarvasya charid yavastita kritanjalim brahma mayena kambuna pasparshabalam kripaya kapole. Although Dhruva Maharaj was a small boy, he wanted to offer prayers to Krishna in suitable language. But because he was inexperienced, he could not adjust himself immediately. The Supreme Personality of Godhead being situated in everyone's heart could understand Dhruva Maharaj's awkward position. Out of his causeless mercy, he touched his conch shell to the forehead of Dhruva Maharaj, who stood before him with folded hands. So then he got empowered. He was transcendentally inspired by the touch of the Lord's conch shell on his forehead. This transcendental inspiration is called Brahma Maya, because when one is thus inspired, the sound he produces exactly corresponds to the sound vibration of the Vedas. This is not the ordinary sound vibration of this material world. Therefore, the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra, although presented in the ordinary alphabet, should not be taken to be mundane or material. So, of course, when one comes to the platform of Bhava Bhakti, and that ray of Swarup Shakti descends upon the heart of the sadhaka, then he becomes elevated to the platform of Vishuddha Sattva by contact with the Swarup Shakti of the Lord. The Swarup Shakti of the Lord comes through the heart of the pure devotee and is directed to the heart of the Shishya and shines therein and removes all the darkness of ignorance and all the doubts and illusions. And dances there in the heart. And when a Swarup Shakti dances in the heart of the sadhaka, it brings along with it knowledge and bliss, bhava. And when the heart becomes saturated with bliss, then it illuminates and transforms the body with various ecstatic symptoms, as Dhruva Maharaj displayed. So in these two verses, Dhruva Maharaj's darshan of the Lord has brought about a transformation. First of all, it's brought about a transformation of his consciousness. It's elevated him to the platform of Bhav, and so he's experiencing bliss because he's experiencing the Swarup Shakti of the Lord. Bhava Bhakti means that one is experiencing or received the glance of the Lord, or to receive contact with the personal energy or the Swarup Shakti of the Lord. Swarup Shakti of the Lord is made of Samvit and Ladini, knowledge and bliss. So the first thing, these two things are happening simultaneously to Dhruva. He's overwhelmed with bliss and he wants to kiss the lotus feet of the Lord and drink the Lord with his eyes and embrace him with his arms. Right? He's so overwhelmed with bliss. And then he wants to offer prayers, beautiful Sanskrit prayers, which require a lot of knowledge. It takes 12 years of grammar to learn Sanskrit. You have to study grammar for 12 years, Vyakaran. And all these things you have to study. And he wanted to offer prayers because he wanted to glorify his lover. It's a symptom of love. When you love someone, you want to sing about them. And there's so many love songs and love poems from people of every country. Because this is one of the emanations. When love dances in the heart, then it moves the mind and senses in such a way that one wants to engage and perform different activities. So one activity that one wants to engage in when he loves someone is he wants to speak about them and glorify them. So Dhruva Maharaj, now that he's in Bhava Bhakti and he's experiencing his ecstasies, he wants to express them. He wants to express his gratitude and his appreciation and his love for Krishna. And he's fumbling for the words. But because now he's in Bhava Bhakti and now he's illumined, so that he's touched by the conch shell represents the touch of Vishuddha Sattva. So he's touched by the Lord Vishnu's conch shell on his head, and immediately he starts offering prayers, Dhruva Vandanam. So when one is in Bhava Bhakti, then he is illumined with knowledge of the Lord's potencies, and he's illumined with the ability to love the Lord and receive the Lord's love. And he has experiences of different sattvic vikars, or transformations of ecstasy. Romancha Kampa Ashu Taranga Bhajo. We glorify our Gurudev, because he is such a Bhava Bhakta and Prema Bhakta, Premi Bhakta, that he has these experiences. Romancha Kampa Shutaranga Bhajo. Right? His worship, his bhajo, his worship of Krishna, Radha Krishna Yugo, his Radha Krishna Yugo bhajan is developed to such an extent and is expressed in such a deep way and is swirling within his heart and mind. It is swirling and agitating his mind and heart, his bhajan, his Mahaprabhu kirtan, his Mahaprabhu Kirtan and Nritya. He's dancing. Maybe you don't see him dancing externally, but he's dancing internally in his meditation. He's dancing in the Kirtan of Mahaprabhu. Right? Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nritya Gita. He's singing in Mahaprabhu's Kirtan party. He's dancing in Srivasangam with Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then what happens? So this is his bhajan. And because he's so much absorbed in this Nitya Leela of Lord Chaitanya and taking part in that Kirtan party, that his heart is swirling with waves. Romancha Kampa Su Taranga. Taranga means waves. Oh no, Taranga. Taranga doesn't mean, there's this waves in his heart. His heart is an ocean, a Prema Sagar. And these waves are going up and down, these huge waves. And they're creating these transformations. So we offer our head at the lotus feet of such a guru. Three times a day. We want to remember the lotus feet of such a guru and such gurus and pray for their kripa. That we can also someday reach the shore of that ocean. And maybe some spray from the waves of his heart may fall on our mind, may sprinkle our mind. Our mind may be sprinkled. Sometimes the disciples, they use this word to describe, Gurudev, he went and he sprinkled some nectar of Krishna consciousness on the devotees in the West or whatever. Sprinkles. It's funny. Little sprinkles. There was a little sprinkle last night, wasn't there? Did you get that sprinkle? Some sprinkle of prem from the gopis' eyes? The gopis are crying in anticipation. They're crying because they have powders in their eyes. When Krishna throws holy and they get holy colors and powders in their eyes and they cry, and their crying of the gopis in holy season comes down as raindrops in the land of Vrindavan. You ever play holy and you get sometimes in your eye and you cry? Right? This is holy time. It started on Vasant Panchami and goes to... it's already going on. It's kind of like if you're sitting somewhere and there's a war out in the country, but you're in the city and you're thinking, it's all right in the city, the war's in the country. And all of a sudden the bombs start coming into the city. Uh-oh, the war's coming into the city. There's nowhere to go now because the war's in the country and the city. So the holy war, the war of holy is already going on in the villages. And sometimes you see some soldiers that have come from the war zone. We were on Parikrama in Vrindavan today, and we saw some soldiers from the holy war, and they had this blood streaming down their arm, purple blood and green blood trickling down their fresh splotches of green blood and purple blood on their white dhotis and white kurtas. And we saw war victims. And we started to tremble because we knew that, that means the war is going on. And we inquired from our relatives, yes, it's a fact, the war is going on. Where you got hit? We were in Barsana. They're playing holy. Yes, they're playing holy in Barsana, Nandagram, Chitsoli. And they're advancing towards Vrindavan. They should be in Vrindavan within 2 weeks, and another 2 weeks, and the next Ekadasi, they're advancing towards Vrindavan. And from the Ekadasi to Gaur Purnim, they'll be holy in Vrindavan for six days. Prepare yourself. We better get our ammunition. We better get our guns. We better get our pitchkaris, our syringes, and arm our children. Arm our children with buckets of color, and arm our wives, and get ready for the holy war. It's going to strike. Right? Ho, ho, holy. So, Dhruva Maharaj has offered his prayers. And he had the wonderful darshan of the Lord in his heart, and then he had antar darshan. So I read this verse to give further explanation about the principle Sanatan Goswami was saying in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and also in his purports to the Dhammadharastikam and Digdarshini Tika we mentioned yesterday, that he said, of the two, Gyandish Drishti or Antar Drishti, seeing Krishna in meditation in the heart, or seeing Krishna in Sakshat Darshan, eye to eye, of the two, there's much more ecstasy and pleasure and satisfaction in seeing the Lord eye to eye. So this section of the Bhagavatam, these few verses from chapter 9, canto 4, of Dhruva Maharaj's life, they show that, they exemplify that point. Because when he was meditating, he saw the Lord in the heart. That was nice. He saw him. He had a spurti. But then he couldn't see that. And he became slightly disturbed, just out of like a frustration. Oh, I can't see him. And then he opened his eyes. And then when he saw him, then what happened? Then when he was having antar drishti, darshan in the heart of the Lord. And he saw the same Lord appearing outside. When he saw the Lord inside his heart, gyan drishti or antar drishti or by, you know, internal darshan, it was nice, but he wasn't experiencing any bhava, any symptoms of ecstasy. But then when he opened his eyes and saw the Lord, then all this transformation took place. So this section shows that it's much more ecstatic and much more satisfying and much more happens when one actually sees the Lord externally with his eyes. So we'll stop there, and tomorrow there will be more discussion about seeing the Lord. Any questions? How can one recognize a rasika devotee? Well, they usually have 6 eyes and 2 noses. They wear 3 sets of eyeglasses. It's not something you'll recognize with your eyes. It's something you'll recognize with your heart. But the definition that's been given to the same question answered by other devotees, they say that a rasika devotee is someone who is, first of all, familiar with rasa tattva. Rasa tattva is a tattva, it's a science. All these in Nectar Devotion discusses this, and Ujjala Nilamani also. And Gita Mala, there's some songs about different rasas, and other scriptures, Jiva Dharma, also discuss rasa tattva. It's a science of ras, bhakti ras, samrita sindhu, right? So, first of all, he's knowledgeable, or he or she, or that devotee is knowledgeable of the science of rasa. And second of all, they are actually advanced to the point where they can taste rasa. So now, there are many scriptures that describe the symptoms of one who's in bhava bhakti. In other words, when a devotee comes to the platform of bhava bhakti, then he is actually qualified to taste bhakti rasa. Because that's part of the science of rasa tattva. When you study the science of rasa tattva, you understand when one is qualified, what are the qualifications. So one who knows the science of rasa, and one who's tasting bhakti rasa, who is a bhava bhakta, he is a rasika bhakta. In other words, it's very rare. It's not very common to find such a devotee who is well-versed in the science of rasa, and he's qualified, and he's tasting the rasa of the shastras. This Srimad Bhagavatam is a rasa shastra, right? It is a rasa shastra. And there's one verse that says, rasika babuvaka. It's in the first canto, isn't it? First canto of Bhagavatam. It says, this Srimad Bhagavatam is relishable. It's relished by those devotees who are fixed in their spiritual identity and are actually on the platform of bhakti rasa. We are like Vaishnav Praya. We are Bhakti Abbas. We are practicing a reflection of bhakti. We're not practicing pure bhakti. The Srimad Bhagavatam is relished by the Paramahamsa Satam. So Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Sambhado. The pure devotees, the Paramahamsas, they relish the ras of Bhagavatam. But for us, the Bhagavatam is bringing us to that point. Srinivatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. That for us, for the neophyte devotees like ourselves, then Srinivatam Swakata Krishna, Krishna Kata, hearing Krishna Kata, it removes the abhadrani. It purifies the heart. So a rasika bhakta is a very rare entity. Like 6 eyes and 3 noses. Very rare entity to find someone with 6 eyes and 3 noses. And you will only find, and you will not find such a pure devotee of the Lord, a rasika bhakta. Generally, you can say rasika bhakta, you can equate with pure devotee of the Lord. It's something you find by the strength of your sukriti, by the power of your sukriti, the power of your bhakti unmukhi sukriti gives you the darshan and association with such an advanced devotee. Any other questions? Pancha kapa trubhyascha kripa sindhu vayavacha kitanam bhavaneyo vaishnaveyo.